Immigration has long played a role in the growth of America. While we have open borders, along with an invitation for all who want to play a role in the story and future of America, we also have always had a system of rules and laws attached to immigration. Back in the days of Ellis Island, for example, a lot of people tend to overlook not everyone made it off the island. They were sent back home for a variety of reasons. Some say that today's immigration system doesn't fully follow that history. Just to demonstrate how convoluted oversight of immigration has become, legislation which are seen by Republicans now as effective is now being opposed by those very same Republicans for purely political purposes. Our first guest today is with us to examine the immigration issue, impact it has on immigrants, of which she knows firsthand. She is an immigration attorney, head of the Castro Legal Group, founder of USA for All, Renata Castro. Thanks for being here, Renata.
Thanks for having me.
Couple of websites we have on the homepage as well, CastroLegalGroup.com, USA4All.com. I want to start with the legislation that passed the House, bipartisan vote, by the way, although I believe it was around 70 Republicans who had voted against it, and it's pending a vote this coming week in the Senate. Going into it, it has some fallacies attached to it. Probably the most common one spoken by Speaker Johnson, as far and along with Donald Trump, is it will allow 5,000 illegal immigrants to cross the border without question every day, and that's going to add a lot. Well, actually, if you look at the bill, migrants who attempt to cross the border illegally would be detained immediately. Their asylum claim decided while they're in detention. Now, as far as migrants who try to cross illegally with asylum claims, they come to the border and an official port of entry, they would be diverted to what's going to be called a removal authority program. New program this bill would put into place would have 90 days to make their initial asylum interview. And they would not be released into the interior of the U.S. either. They would either be detained, kept under government supervision. And if they fail that initial asylum interview, they would immediately be sent back home. So it seems like, Renata, this seems like a ratcheting up of oversight of a system which has come under a pretty heavy burden with, in December, for example, 300,000, a record 302,000 contacts with people trying to cross the border. That was an all-time record, and it seems like this would put a lot more control into the hands of the people who are charged with overseeing the immigration system.
I believe that the most important thing to one of the most important takeaways from this situation is that, number one, the number of border crossings that are having contact with law enforcement has increased exponentially, which is actually a positive factor, not because more people are coming in, but because now we have an opportunity to vet people who come into the United States. For the past two or three decades, the crossing of individuals, the uncontrolled crossing of individuals has taken place in the U.S.-Mexico border. We just didn't have data. We just didn't know that it was going on. So that is something that I think the public needs to understand that has a positive impact or a positive outcome. Now, the asylum system is greatly outdated. It hasn't been reformed to fit the necessities and the technology that we have today. And until we've come up with a better system and a better law, better yet, to vet and process asylum cases, we're still going to continue being overwhelmed. The number of immigration cases or court cases in front of immigration judges far outpaces the number of judges that we have available today. So even though some of these safeguards that are being implemented to reduce the number of border crossings, they violate due process that's recognized by law. So the only way to make this system long-term and effective and avoid lawsuits against the government, because that will happen, it's just a matter of time, is to reform our current immigration system. Create an asylum process that allows individuals to come to the United States with an already approved or vetted asylum case, which is not the case right now. The current law requires, it doesn't ask, it doesn't suggest, it requires individuals to come to a port of entry like the border and seek asylum. And that is why the immigration system is so overwhelmed. It's an outdated law for a current problem.
And if you look at the way the system works right now, a a immigrant is detained, apprehended, sent to court to receive a date to come back. And I've seen a growing number of reports saying that date to come back isn't measured in days, weeks, or months. It's measured in years now, Renata.
Immigration attorneys have long faced issues related to the scheduling of court hearings, because I hope that in 2028 I have won the lottery and I'm no longer a practicing attorney. But jokes aside, the likelihood that that will happen is very slim, but I don't know where I will be July 5th, 2028. Some attorneys are having to plan 5, 6, 7 years ahead. And if we're attorneys with systems and assistants and offices and with knowledge of the law, if we're struggling with such a far-out date, imagine people who want to be able to know where they will live, how they will work, where their kids are going to go to school. That is the kind of impact that such a convoluted and ineffective asylum system creates in individuals in the United States. One issue that no one talks about is how these individuals who are seeking asylum receive an employment authorization and they're able to work, they get a Social Security, they're able to secure credit. They are tax-paying, law-abiding individuals. And then all of a sudden, after 10 or 12 years in the United States, someone looks at them and says, well, guess what? I don't believe your claim fits the asylum law. You're going to have to leave. How do you do that? Now these people are displacing jobs that they are filling, working for American companies, generating revenue, generating jobs. It's just ineffective. And instead of just kicking the ball between Republicans and Democrats and just always pointing fingers, both Congress and Senate they both need to get its act together and sit down with knowledgeable practicing attorneys and once and for all reform asylum law in a way that's more cost effective, more humane, and that can also serve the interests of the United States today.
And when you say cost effective, that does not include total deportation, because some estimates have put that effort into the trillions of dollars. And you mentioned as far as those who come in to seek employment and do it legitimately and above board, they're not, as again the panic button pushers say, taking jobs away from Americans. If you look at from Pew Research, the most recent numbers we have that can fully look at this is 2021. So I just wanted to say that as a foundation. But the percent of working population of illegal, of undocumented immigrants is only 4.7% of the total working population. That's not a monumental number.
No, we actually, we've talked about how we should start a reality show called, you know, let's show what kind of work undocumented aliens are doing and see whose jobs they're stealing them from, because they are normally jobs that Americans just don't want to do. And it has nothing to do with pay, because they are well paid. It's just that this generation is not attracted to blue collar jobs, which are the overwhelming amount of jobs that immigrants are fulfilling. Now, it's great to be a nation full of TikTokers and influencers, but that does not build an economy. We as a nation have a need for a workforce that is just not showing up to work. So are we not going to have plumbers or electricians or nurses or aides? It's a matter of economic intelligence to find a solution that allows people to work in the United States, as they already are. We also don't talk about punishing American employers who hire undocumented aliens and who game the system, because they know there will never be any consequence for them. They're not arrested. They are very rarely fined. But all we do is talk about the alien who is here working, a lot of times contributing to Social Security, and will never receive a dime in any kind of vested benefit that he or she may have. It's about we take our heads out of the sand, recognize that we do need people working, but we need to have a system that allows them to work legally, effectively, and contributing to the growth of the United States.
Talking with immigration attorney Renata Castro, head of the Castro Legal Group, founder of USA for All, CastroLegalGroup.com, USA4All.com. Are the appropriate website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. For you listening, just to give you a try to visualize this reference point, if you look at the top states where the populations hold undocumented immigrants. New Jersey happens to be one of them, 450,000, 600,000 for New York, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Texas, California, and Washington State, which might be surprising to some people. That's sort of outside the loop. Illinois as well, if I didn't mention that, I might have. But if you look at the trends of immigration, Renata, it seems to have flatlined around the 10 million mark. It's something's got to be working, whether it's been the recent economic downturns we saw back in 2008, 2009, the COVID pandemic recently. Maybe that tampered down the numbers in recent years. But it has seemed to flatline around the 10 to 11 million mark.
Yeah, we have fluctuations, especially as migrant populations get older and they realize they're not going to be able to retire. Their expectation of immigration reform dwindles down, which it has been promised for, I don't know, the last 20 years. And the last meaningful immigration reform we had was in 1996 when, at the time, employers were able to actually sponsor individuals who were in the country without status. As long as they had a job, they paid taxes, they paid a fine, and that system worked. But that program called 245i sunset in April of 2001. So as we account for the same number of individuals who are without status in the United States, we also notice how they are shifting locations. You mentioned Washington State. There's a reason why there's a growing number of undocumented individuals in Washington State. Number one, high wages. There's a demand for people to work, and they are there to fulfill those jobs. But the state of Washington was one of the first states in the United States to allow undocumented aliens to get a driver's license. So that's why we have seen such an expansion of the number there. But if you haven't been to the state of Washington, the economy is flourishing. They are growing leaps and bounds, and it doesn't seem like the immigrant population is doing them bad. It's actually doing them good. You mentioned some new players like Illinois, another state that also allows undocumented individuals to have a driver's license. And New Jersey and New York have historically been in the immigrant radar since the times of Ellis Island, but also two very strong economies. So immigrants come to contribute more than they take away. And I think that that's the important lesson. How can we integrate them into the economy without criminalizing them, but also without burning billions, if not trillions of dollars in unnecessary immigrant detention? Because most of these individuals don't have a criminal violation. It's a civil violation, one of immigration law, that could result in detention. So why not make it orderly? Why not make it controlled? Why not make it a system that works for Americans and for the migrants, as we discussed it several times before?
Bringing it to the New Jersey, New York area. New Jersey, this was launched the tail end of last year, budgeted $2.5 million to help legal migrants get jobs. These are individuals who have been lawfully permitted to enter the country through the Border Patrol One app. That's the online tool that migrants in central northern Mexico, they can schedule appointments for processing at a point of entry along the southwest border. So that sounds like a step in keeping workers legitimate, I guess would be the term. But if you look at what some of the states have been doing using New Jersey and New York, of course, the busing of migrants into New York City to the point where New York City Mayor Adams issued an executive order that mandated charter bus companies transporting migrants into New York City provide 32 hours notice before arrival. So what happened? New Jersey is now the stopping ground. They don't go all the way through into New York on the buses. It's the executive order applied to buses. They're going on the trains now. Then in New York City, we had, I believe it was 14 illegal migrants attacking NYPD cops, and they wound up being released ROR. That's not helping the problem here.
I have to say that all these, except for the situation where no matter where, if you're a migrant, documented or undocumented, any individual who is not respecting the authority of the police, as happened in New York City, they have to suffer the full consequences and of the law. I think that that's unquestionable. But when we look at the busing, which is a separate issue, It really is more of a political play than anything else. New York has always had, or has for recent years had, the right to shelter law. So politicians are in the business of getting reelected. That's their business, and you know, business is going good. Because for as long as we have the same unsolvable central issue at the minds of voters, which right now is immigration, they don't have to be talking about the real problems that we have as a country. So what do? You look very courageous by offering a bus ticket to migrants so that they can go to New York or New Jersey or Illinois or to Cape Cod. That doesn't solve the problem. New York has always received a much larger number of undocumented aliens because it has a lot of jobs. Now, with the internet, people are aware that they have access to shelter or head as things have changed. So, once again, if instead of having this discussion of where to bus migrants and how are we going to address them once they are in the United States, governors, senators, and U.S. representatives should sit at the table and discuss not how they feel about immigration, but how can they make the system more effective for the taxpayer and for the United States. And that's the conversation that I don't hear, because closing the borders just doesn't work. The United States has greatly benefited from the interchange with the external market. We cannot survive only on our domestic production of anything, including of people to work. So it has to be a much more intelligent, a much broader, and a much more effective conversation to resolve the issue than just passing out executive orders to block the entry of individuals on a bus. They can, as you mentioned, they can come on a train, they can take an Uber. Are they going to arrest the pilots who are flying them on domestic flights, calling that human trafficking? It is just ineffective, and it's a show for media and not a fulfillment of the oath of office that they took when they took office.
Which brings us back as well to the legislation that the GOP was for before Donald Trump was against it, and that will play out further this week as the Senate takes up that legislation. We'll see what is to come of that. Real fast, I mentioned you're the founder of USC for All. What's the goal and the purpose of your organization?
Our goal is to help individuals live their American dream legally, be it an investor, a victim of human trafficking, a victim of domestic violence, employers looking to hire someone legally in the United States. That's why we call it USA for All, to make sure that the American dream is within reach.
Learn more at USA, the number 4all.com. We have the link at our homepage as well. Renata Castro, thank you so much for bringing facts and reality into a discussion where politics leaves a mess that usually you have to clean up, and hopefully it will get cleaned up, and fairness, effectiveness will take charge of the system. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.